Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for you and your family. A time to open the Bible and see what God has to say to us through His Word. Village many years ago lived a shoemaker with a consuming interest in geography. On the wall of his shop was a large map of the world. He also had made himself a leather globe, something like a basketball, on which he had marked out the continents. As he studied his map and globe, this servant of God would think to himself, "This is England, where people have the gospel. That's Africa, and that's India, where thousands have never heard of the Savior." The shoemaker's name was William Carey. He taught in the local school and preached in a small chapel. He prayed earnestly for the souls of people around the world. One day God made it possible for him to go to India as a missionary. William Carey became known as the father of modern missions. As I read of William Carey, I was reminded of another great missionary, the Apostle Paul. In our chapters today from the Epistle to the Romans, he writes of his great burden, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation." He's speaking here of his concern for Israel. We're continuing our studies in this very important book of Romans, and we're glad that you've joined us. If it's your first time to study with us, we'd like you to know that we're following the Emmaus Road to Bible Knowledge. What we mean is that we're using one of the Emmaus Correspondence School courses as a guideline for our studies. If you're interested in having this course, write to us. Our address is given at the close of each 15-minute program. Now, Lesson 9 and page 1 of that lesson. The lesson title, "The Case of the Jew." During Old Testament times, God's dealings were primarily with the nation of Israel. They were His chosen people, and it was to them that He had made many great and precious promises. Now that the gospel message is preached to Gentiles as well as Jews, it almost seems as if God has forgotten about these ancient promises. The question then, has God broken His promises? No. Paul here explains that Israel has been temporarily set aside by God because of unbelief. However, when the nation again turns to the Lord, it will be restored to a position of privilege and favor. First, let's consider the fact that Israel's rejection was justified. The nation of Israel had been highly favored. They had been adopted as God's own people. They had the glory cloud, which signified His presence on earth. They had the covenants, the law of Moses, the temple service, the promises, and the patriarchs. Finally, the Lord Jesus was descended from Israel. In spite of all this, Israel rejected the Messiah and so had been set aside by God. This does not mean, however, that God had been unfaithful to His promises. His promises were never made to all Israel, but always to a chosen or elect portion. Notice carefully Romans chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Neither are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac your descendants will be named." Romans 9, verses 6 and 7. Abraham had other children, but only the descendants of Isaac were God's choice. Thus, the mere fact of one's ancestry does not ensure blessing. Then Rebekah had twin sons, Jacob and Esau, but the line of promise was only through Jacob. God made this clear before the boys were born, thus indicating that good works had nothing to do with His decision. We have touched on a very important point here as to God's sovereignty. Let's pause for some music so that you can go back over these first 13 verses in Romans 9. After the music, we'll continue with this chapter. You are listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. You'll recall that it was along the Emmaus Road that the Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, taught two people the things concerning himself in all the Scriptures. We trust that our times together on the Emmaus Bible Hour will result in your knowing the Scriptures better, and that you'll see the various books of the Bible point us to Christ. If you have questions about certain Scriptures, send them to us. Our address will be given in the closing moments of the program. Now back to Romans 9. We see then that God is sovereign. This means that he can show mercy to whomever he pleases. No one can accuse him of unfairness when he does it. Romans 9:14. This is Romans 9, verse 14. What shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. God told Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It is not a matter of man's effort, but of God's mercy. When Pharaoh had hardened his heart against God, the Lord used him as an object lesson by which to demonstrate his power. Remember, although the Bible teaches that God chooses men for blessing, it never teaches that he chooses some to be damned. No man can question God's actions. To do so puts man on equality with God. All men come from the same lump of sinful clay. If left alone, they would all perish. God is the potter. He comes into his house and shows mercy to some. Does he not have the right to do this? As Charles Erdman puts it, God's sovereignty is never exercised in condemning men who ought to be saved, but rather it has resulted in the salvation of men who ought to be lost. God only rejected Israel after much patient long-suffering. Moreover, the salvation of the Gentiles and the rejection of all but a remnant of Israel was predicted in the Old Testament. Next, we are reminded that Israel's rejection is due to unbelief. The Jews sought to obtain righteousness in their own way, that is, by trying to keep the law. In other words, they refused to submit to God's way of salvation, which is faith in Christ. Moreover, Israel should have known from the Old Testament that righteousness is by faith, not by law, because Moses taught the difference. Law tells man to do, but faith says there's nothing to do. Christ has already done the work. He has come down into the world, has died, has been buried, and has risen again. Now all God requires is that we confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. In thinking of Israel, may we never forget that Israel's rejection is neither complete nor final. God did not reject the entire nation. The apostle himself is proof of this. Also, a remnant has been preserved by grace, even as in the days of Elijah. However, God has caused blindness to come upon Israel. Now, this is not physical blindness, of course, but inability to see clearly in spiritual matters. Always remember this. Israel's rejection does not mean that the nation will be cut off forever. Speaking of the Jews in Romans 11, verse 12, Paul writes, Now if their transgression be riches for the world, and their failure be riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? Romans chapter 11, verse 12. Note that word fulfillment. God is going to restore them. Gentile blessing is intended to provoke the Jewish nation to jealousy. He tells us this in Romans 11, verses 13 and 14. But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. Romans chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. Paul's conclusion is that God's ways are wonderfully perfect. Romans 11, verse 33, one of my favorites. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and unfathomable His ways. We may not understand it all, but we can trust in Him with all our hearts. One verse in Romans 10 and verse 17 that we didn't comment on before. This is Romans 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That's why we continually on this program give you what God says in His word. We suggest that after the program you reread Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. Then write to us this week. Ask for information on this Bible correspondence course, and if you have questions or comments, send them along. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.